In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is in our midst. So today we commemorate and celebrate one of the great feasts of our church, and this one in particular is about and centered on the Theotokos, the mother of our Lord, and the gospel passage that we heard both in the Orthros and here just a moment ago are the same ones we hear at the other feasts that celebrate the Theotokos, of her Dormition and also her Nativity, today being her presentation in the temple at a young age. And if you were able to spend some time preparing yourselves for liturgy today and read the scriptures, especially the scriptures from last evening in the Vespers, you would know this story, most of which tradition gives us and is handed down to us from the second century writing known as the Proto-Evangelion of James. And it is in this, what we call an extra biblical writing, if you will, that we learn much about the Theotokos. Of course, we know about her calling, about the Annunciation, about the words that she said about herself that we just heard. But most of her life we know from this second century writing. And yet, the gospel that we hear today raises questions for us as to why and how we can connect what our Lord is saying to his friends, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, because they were two sisters and a brother, and what it means to us, and what is its connection to the Theotokos. So we know this from the Gospels, that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were beloved by the Lord. They were his friends. And we know this especially when we hear the story and the Gospel passage about Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus. How much the Lord loved them, so much that that one short verse that we all like to recite when we're asked to recite a verse, the Lord wept, or he wept, that shows his compassion and his love for this family, especially for this family. And so we hear that Martha received him into her house. They loved him greatly, and they showed him this hospitality. They showed him this by welcoming him into their home. Their home, the place where it was a reflection, in this case for sure, a reflection of their hearts, a reflection of their lives. This was the place where they offered their hospitality. This was the place where they offered their philoxenia, their love, for those who would come upon their door, whoever they may be, and invited them into their home. So they invited the Lord into their house. Now Martha was the head of the household, and it was because it was her who welcomed him into her home. It wasn't Lazarus, it wasn't Mary, it was Martha. And according to, in the language, the Aramaic language, Martha is a word that means the feminine version of Lord, or master, or mistress, if you will. She was the lady of the house. It was her responsibility to invite guests into her house. And so that is why Martha is the one who invited him, and that is why Martha is the one who shows, as we read in the gospel, this diligence, this preparation, this activity to prepare her home, to prepare the meal, to do all these things so she could welcome Jesus and other guests into her home. And as we know, Mary, the younger sister, was sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening attentively to him, and that Martha was distracted. She was anxious and troubled, the gospel says, because she was the one that was running around, as I said, making sure that everyone's need was met. that the food was prepared, and not just prepared, but it was prepared as best that she could. In other words, she wanted her service, she wanted that which she served and she produced to be excellent. She wanted an excellent offering. So she put her time and her effort into what she was doing. But the one person that she was not taking care of, and we've heard this before, is herself. Now, she wasn't distracted about worldly things or secular things, worldly concerns. Martha, too, was ministering to the Lord. And she was ministering to others with her serving. And this serving that she was doing was an act of love. An act of love for her Lord and an act of love for those who were part of her house. And it was because of her faith in the Lord that she was providing this hospitality, that she was providing this service. And we know that our Lord loved her. We know that our Lord didn't chastise her and admonish her because she was serving, but he did so because she had forgotten the one thing needful. You see, it wasn't the service that Martha was doing that was the issue. It was that she was distracted in her service. And as I thought about this for myself and all of us who happen to serve in the church, how easy it is for us to get lost in the details of what we're doing. Kind of distracted about doing what we are called to do. These are important things that all of us are called to do, whatever we do to serve in the church. But when we lose sight of the one thing needful, and that is the Lord, and I'll talk about what that means, then is our service the best that we can bring to the church, to our parish, to the people around us, and most importantly, to the Lord? And I would say it is not. So the one thing needed that our Lord says, of course, is our Lord himself. And he says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her." The one thing needed was the Lord himself. And it was found in, what was Mary doing? It was found in worship. She was sitting at his feet. She was worshiping him, the Lord. And in discipleship, she was learning. She was listening to him. She was listening to his words. She was worshiping and she was listening. She was learning and she was prayerful. Now, we say these things all the time. What should we be doing? What should we as Christians be focused on? Prayer, worship, education, learning, the sacraments. These aren't just cliches that we say. This is the one thing needful in order for us to seek and to receive the one thing needful. It is important for us to look at this example and other examples, to worship. To worship. It's not just being here. It's when we are here, at whatever time we're here, it's worshiping. It's listening. It's offering our service. It's offering ourselves in worship. That is why it is important that when we serve in the church, we do our best to offer what is excellent, whether it be for me here, whether it be for our chanters and our choir, whether it be for our parish council members, whether it be for those who are serving in our welcome ministry, in the community center, whatever it is, to bring our best. Because by doing so, we are focusing ourselves on what is needful, and we're helping others to direct them to what is needful. Because indeed, that is why we are here. or that is why we should be here. To seek the one thing needful, and that is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we know that Mary was listening and learning from him. St. John Chrysostom says, it is not of Mary simply that she sat near Jesus, but at his feet, to show her diligence, her steadfastness, and zeal in hearing, and the great reverence which she had for our Lord. Our entire lives, and all of our service, all of our work, all of our relationships, even our faith, our love, and our strength depend entirely on our relationship with the Lord. All of it. The relationship needs to be nurtured daily, as I said, in prayer and worship, in the scriptures, sacramentally. He is the one thing needed. And if we have him, if we abide in him, and we are united with him in prayer, and learn from his word, from the scriptures, we will be renewed in our minds and our hearts. And then we will be able to serve him and serve others without anxiety, without distraction, without burning out, without fear. Fear of losing something, fear of change, fear of even others. We must abide in him. And when we do this, these fears, these anxieties, these distractions are diminished at the very least, and hopefully they're eliminated. Saint Ambrose of Milan says, may you then, like Mary, be influenced by the desire of wisdom. For this is the greater, this is the more perfect work. Nor let the care of ministering to others turn your mind from the knowledge of the heavenly word. Nor reprove or think indolent those whom you see seeking after wisdom. The life of contemplation, the life of devotion, the life of abiding in Christ, this leads to something. A fruit of this is action. A fruit of this is the works. A fruit of this is taking this hospitality, taking this service to others outside even of our own community. It is the best portion of what we can ever imagine or what we can ever hope for, to abide in Christ. And as we heard in the last verse of this gospel passage, our Lord, in responding to a wonderful blessing that came from the crowd, he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and who keep it. Now, I said the gospel in Greek today because I wanted to focus on one word, philosondes. Philosondes is the word that is translated as keep, but it's not quite translated correctly. Although keep is one way you can translate that word, there are other ways you can translate it. To preserve, to protect, or to do action. Not just to keep, not just to keep within ourselves, not just to keep within our own person or our own family or our own community, but to do action. To take what we receive by abiding in him and to take this outside to bring others to understand the beauty and the joy in abiding in Christ. That's what this word means, and that's what our Lord is saying. And the Theotokos, which is why we connect this gospel to this feast, the Theotokos, earlier that we didn't hear now, we heard it in another passage, says, whatever he says, you do it. He said it in the first miracle of our Lord, at the wedding in Cana. He says, whatever the Lord says, do it. It's the same thing. Whatever our Lord is telling us, whatever we receive from him in our service and in our love and our devotion, abiding in him, we need to take this and we need to go and we need to have action from it. That's what we are called to do. That is service. That is, most importantly, expressing our love for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the living temple of God, that is Mary, the living temple of God, showed us that in her life and in her response most perfectly and most completely. So that is why we celebrate these feasts of the Mother of God, of the Theotokos. That is why we have these icons which depict these wonderful events in the life of the church and in her life. Because all of it directs us to this one truth, that just as Mary was the actual living temple of the Lord, we too are invited, we too are called to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, as Paul says. We too are invited, we too are called to sit at his feet, to sit at his feet, to listen to him, to obey him, and to take what we hear and what we receive from him and take it out to the world. So may our Lord, through the intercessions of his mother, the Theotokos, strengthen us and guide us and enlighten us to, as he says, hear the word of God and to keep it, to do it. Amen.